This is Pastor Wayne Waycaster. I hope you enjoy the message that's about to come your way, and I hope it's a blessing to you, or I hope it's a conviction message that'll bring you to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
I think another writer, maybe even in the book of Proverbs, that it talks about man's righteousness. Now, there's nothing righteous about us at all, except God dwell in us. It's the righteousness of God in us tonight. If there be any righteousness about us, it's the righteousness of God. And we're so glad tonight that He is the giver of righteousness. You know that I think one of the old patriarchs of God, he said, if you noticed him, he's a righteous and upright man. Amen. The Lord even spoke, God himself even spoke about the old patriarch of God being an upright man, a righteous and upright man. And I think that's quite an honorable mention for the Lord God Almighty even to speak about to the devil about one of his servants. And I'd like for the Lord to be able to say that about me to Satan, amen. I want to live my life to prove that. Now, in the 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse, there's 32 verses in this. You may read it all, I don't know. But this is a good reading anyway, and I don't know what the Lord will let us do with it after you get through reading it. But it'll be a blessing to you tonight if you'll record the writing in the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. But by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. His ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king, and his mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the tongue is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to let understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handles the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it for him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to the devised forward thing, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's reading a complete chapter, 33 verses, if correctly read. In my stumbling tongue as I read it, I hope it came to you clear enough so you understood the Word of God tonight. But as I looked at that, said the preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. See, our heart is not prepared at all until we come to know Jesus. It's not prepared because it's created or born in sin and conceived in iniquity. And it's the Bible said that the heart of man is continuously evil. And so unless God changes our heart, there's nothing but evil about it. And evil thoughts and evil doings. And as we read on down through the chapter there, you find that a folly man or a foolish man, he always devises evil things and things to hurt people and to be in the way of other people and devises to gain for himself and never enjoys his own riches. And as I looked at this, said, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. See, God knows what. See how God knows a man is by his spirit. God knows a man by his spirit. He don't know us by our being, actually being, but God knows us by our spirit. And if our spirit is of the Lord, then we're one of the children of God, and he treats us as one of his children. But if our spirit is evil in us, then God treats us as an outcast until we submit ourselves wholly acceptable unto the Lord, a reasonable servant. And as I looked at that scripture and I saw the thing said, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. If we commit ourselves unto God, then we don't even have to worry about what the thinking is, because it'll be righteous. It'll be holy. Our thinking will be right. If we establish our heart with God and our soul with him, why then we don't have to worry. We're all the time worrying about correctness. All of this political correctness stuff going on in the world today. And we worry about those things. Most folks do. But let me tell you something today. If you live good and you live righteous, you don't have to worry about political correctness. The folk the evil person is the one has to worry about speaking lies or speaking damnable heresies or damnable things that they call political incorrectness. And so, but if you live godly, as you should live as a Christian, you don't have to worry about those things because the Lord directs our thoughts. He directs our minds. And our minds are toward God and the good things of the Lord all the time. I mean, the same words, I might meet you in the morning and I might say, good morning, amen. But now, if I'm a righteous man, that'll have a different tone or a different ring to it than somebody else will say morning. When I'm saying good morning to you, you know what I'm saying? Have a good day. Amen. By the spirit that's in me, my spirit is saying to yours, have a good day. Or may this be a blessed day for you. And I like what the sixth verse said. It said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, we wouldn't even know to depart from evil if we didn't fear God. But the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. But until we come to know him in the free pardon of our sins, we don't even know that. See, we have to have that wisdom of God in us as we spoke about this morning. We've got to have that wisdom which is precious, which is comes down from God out of heaven in us before we can even understand what God's saying to us. Can't understand it. Can't hear it. Our ears are closed to the righteousness of God if we don't have Christ in it, until the convicting power of God comes upon us. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I like that. Amen. You don't have to worry about whether somebody's going to like you or not. Amen. Just live good and holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and God will make your enemies love you, or at least be at peace with you. They won't be trying to do you harm. Because better is a little with righteousness. Let me read that, make sure I get it right. Then great revenues without right. Yeah, I believe it's over, maybe in the book of Psalms, said you labor for wages, and you put them in a bag, and you bring them home, but the bag's got holes in it. See, don't hold it, because we don't gain with thanks unto God, but we don't give God thanks for those things. And the next thing you know, you look in the bag, and what you put in there to save is gone. It's gone. Because it's not of righteousness. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. He's talking about a righteous man here. That his heart devises his steps, or devises his ways, but then the Lord directs our steps. The Bible said that the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. And so tonight we have a perfect relationship with God if we just see what God's saying to us and hear what the Lord's saying. We can have peace with our enemies. I mean, there's a lot of people today that they're and I'm sorry to say, a lot of church members today that are not at peace with their enemies. And they're not even at peace with supposed to be their own kin. They're not at peace with their own neighbors. You know why? Because they don't have righteousness. They don't have righteousness. And we're not letting God direct our steps. The Lord never told me to get even with you if you despitefully use me. God never told me that. You know who told me to do that? The devil. Satan tells you to do that. God doesn't. He said to love your enemy. Love them that despitefully use you for my name's sake. So if another place he said, if they talk about you, let it be untrue. Or if they lie on you, why, let it not hurt you or not bring you down, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And you know what Satan's out to do, don't you? Tonight, you understand what the devil is out to do tonight is to kill and to rob, to steal your joy tonight, to rob you of the peace of God that's in your heart. That's all he's out to do tonight, and to keep you from having a relationship with God so you can find peace in your life. See, he's the author of confusion, Satan is. The devil himself is the author of confusion. And boy, he's good at his job, too, let me tell you. He's wrote a cookbook on it, amen? He's wrote a big book on the confusion that it can cause in our lives. And it doesn't take much. You don't have to give the devil much space in your life, amen, for him to start confusing. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. See, we got to let God lead us. Well, how in the world are we going to do that? When God's in heaven and we're on earth, how are we going to let God do that? Well, let me tell you something. By the prayer that Jesus prayed for us when he ascended into the heaven, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. But he said, I'll pray the Father, he'll send you the Holy Ghost, and he'll lead you and guide you into all truth and righteousness, teaching you whatsoever I've commanded you to do. That Comforter, that Holy Ghost of God, that Spirit of God. And you know what he speaks? He don't speak to that mind. He speaks to the heart. So, if we've closed our heart off to the hearing, to the Word of God, then you can't be led by you can't have your steps ordered by the Lord. We have to have that hearing of our heart opened up that we might hear what God's saying to us. Most of us, and I'm sad to say this, but when we find out what God is saying to us, we get mad about it. We don't want to accept it because it doesn't set well with us because we're out of the will of God. And there's not one way to get back in the will of God, and that's confess our sins before Christ, who's righteous, faithful and righteous and judgmental, and he'll forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in all that old repentance stuff. You believe in hell? You better start believing both of them. Amen. Because without repentance, you'll never see heaven. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. Unless you repent, you'll perish. Well, where are you going to perish at? There's not but two places to go. And heaven is one of them. My choice. And hell is the other one. Somebody said, well, preacher, that ain't... Now, hell ain't nothing no more. Why, it's got to where it's... Hell just don't mean nothing no more. I mean, folk don't never mention nothing about it. But let me tell you something this preacher still mentions about it. Amen, because let me tell you, it's a literal place of punishment, eternal punishment. It's not a passing thing. Some folk have gotten the idea now nowadays that it's just going to be a short-lived thing. No, no, no. Let me say this emphatically tonight. Amen, it's eternal punishment. The Bible said, in the smoke of their torment ascended up forever. And he said, this is the second death. It's the second death. And you'll never die. You'll never die. And somebody said, well, you won't have no bodily resurrection. Let me tell you something. Even the sinner, even the lost people that go down lost will have a bodily resurrection. And their bodies will be, their physical body will be cast into the lake of fire. Because they'll have all of their senses. They'll feel, they'll touch, they'll see, they'll smell. They'll do everything that they've done on earth. Except they won't be drinking no water. Amen. The rich man will give all of his riches for one taste of water tonight. Even tonight. But you know something? God said, you can't do that. You can't have none. This is part of your punishment. You just can't have no water. There's a gulf fixed between me and thee, and you can't come to me, and none of my servants is going to come to you. None of my messages are going to reach you, but you're going to remember every one you heard. Every message that you heard and rejected, you'll hear that. That's part of your torment, too. You tormented in the flame of hell. Somebody said, preacher, don't preach on that. That's scary. I hope to God it's scary. I hope to God it's scary enough tonight to make us realize what a great privilege we have as being called children of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that you can be? Amen. You might not even be able to say I'm a Christian, but you can say I'm a child of God. Amen. If you've been brought to Calvary, amen, and you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, you can say that I'm a Christian, that I'm a child of God. I may not be a perfect one, which I know I'm not. But let me tell you something. My children are not perfect, but they're my children. Amen? They're my children. And I love them. I'll do anything in the world for them. But they're not perfect. But they're mine. You see, that's the way we are with God. Amen? We may not be perfect, brother, but we've been bought with a price. Amen? Jesus paid the price for us. He bought us at Calvary, gave his blood that we might have life and that we might be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you will hear it one day. You'll hear it read. You'll hear your name read off one day after a while, the day of judgment, at the white throne of judgment, or the judgment seat of God, one You'll hear that written. Amen. That written in a book. And you'll answer to it. You'll answer to it. Oh, I know that. We'll hear it while we testify and things. We'll say, well, you know, I used to do this and I used to do all of those things. See, I don't even remember that. God don't remember those things I used to do. See, the only time that I ever remember them is when the devil brings them up. Or maybe God might let me use some of them to be glorified, to glorify His name. But they're cast into sea. Amen. They're cast as far away from me as the east is from the west, and never to be brought against me no more. God never brings them up. Somebody wrote a song one time, "What sins are you talking about?" I don't remember them anymore. I'm glad God doesn't. I'm glad He doesn't reprove me every day and says, "Hey, you used to do this. You used to do that." I'm glad God doesn't do that. I'd be miserable if the Lord done me that way, wouldn't you? I don't know about your past, but I know that my past would be miserable to have to relive it again and again and again. I don't want to relive my past no more. Because, you see, I'm a new creature. I've been created anew in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm walking around the same frame that I had before, but thank God, amen, that there's a man dwelling in me now that's changed. And he's renewed day by day. Day by day. Because I have to talk to God every day of my life and give Him praise. And we've talked about the white hair many times in our messages. And said the hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Did you know sinners have gray hair too? Not just the righteous. Sinners have gray hair too, and it's not glory. It's not because it's not found in righteousness. It's not a covering of righteousness. Now, I said I saw myself on the bulletin board or on the blackboard in our prayer room tonight. Stubborn. That was my name. God was right above it. Angry. Preacher, you mean you sin? No, I just got over on the goat side for a while. Yeah, I just let the devil sneak in just for a little while and causing me to be stubborn. And then, of course, Rob the same way. He just let the devil just ease in, just not much, but just enough to make him angry. But did you know that you can be angry and sin not? Did you know that you can be stubborn and not be a sinner? Did you know that? Hey, man, you can stub up against the devil. Hey, man, I mean, he comes knocking a lot of times. I say, no, I'm too stubborn to. I say, hear what you're saying to me. I'm not going to listen to that. Oh, and he'll go away a while. He'll come right back with the same thing a lot of times. Are you ready now? No, I'm still stubborn. Oh, yeah, but you sinned. No, I ain't. I'm just stubborn. I'm not sinned. I'm just stubborn. Not a good spirit, but I'm still stubborn. So while I'm in that stubborn state, I can't be a real witness for God. But hey, listen, I'm fighting my own battle then. Hey, man, I'm fighting a battle with the devil at that time. And so God ain't going to use me, or He's not going to give me an opportunity to be a witness to somebody else, or to lead somebody else to the Lord in that moment of time. God knows where we're at all the time, and He knows what we're going through. And about the time that I'm about to give in with my stubbornness toward the devil, just about the time my weakness takes power over me, I hear a still small voice. You know what He's saying? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. You don't have to submit to Him. Why? Yeah, but Lord, I'm getting old. Well, I did too when I was up on the mountain up there for 40 days and nights. I got weak too. But I didn't submit. So you don't have to submit because I'm with you. See, I'm right down here with you. That's what the Lord's saying to me. That's what God's speaking to me about. And that's my time of fighting. That's my warfare. It's not yours. It's not the world, but it's mine. Me and the devil's having us a fight. It's not, and a lot of times it's not a pretty thing. Sometimes I come out worn and torn. But bless God, I still come out a victor. I still come out victorious because of the blood that's been applied to my heart. The strength of God is upon me. And I'm the victor. Yeah, I'm the victor. Somebody said, well, you can't fight the devil. Yes, you can. You have to. You'll have to fight him. But you'll fight him with the power of God. You're not fighting with your own power. See, that's why I got in that stubborn state to start with. I leaned on my own understanding, my own power. But then the word of the Lord comes to us and I hear him say, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So I didn't lean on him, and he didn't direct my path. So instead of going to the right or straight through, I took off to the left. See, I thought that was the right way. But no more steps that I had taken than sooner than the devil just flogged me. Somebody said, really, trying to kill you? No, he don't care nothing about killing me. He's trying to rob me. See, he's a thief and a robber. He knows he don't have the power to kill you because God holds the power of life and death, not Satan. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. See, we know the devil's mightier than we are in the flesh. We know that. But let me tell you something. If you just steal away and pray, we've got victory in Jesus. No wonder the old writer that wrote these songs was so inspired. Bless God, they'd been through some trials in life. They'd faced some things in life. And that's why they're so precious to us in our lives today. Is because they have faced those things and written down some words of encouragement to us. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. If we can rule that spirit in us, we can call on that spirit for deliverance in us. You see, we've got that spirit of righteousness in us because we've been born to the Spirit of God. We've been born that way. See, when I was born in 19 and so many years ago, I was born in the flesh. I was born in 1938. I was born in the flesh, into a good family, I'm sure. But boy, I sure didn't. I come out rotten. Amen, I was rotten. I was rotten as I could be. You see, but you know, it wasn't my fault, really, because I was born in sin and conceived in iniquity. So, in 1954, I got a new birth. Now, I didn't climb... Excuse the expression, you younger folk. No, maybe I hope you don't even understand what I'm saying. Amen. I didn't climb back into my mother's womb and be born again of the flesh. I didn't need that. I had all the flesh I could stand. I needed a rebirth of the Spirit of God. Amen. And the Lord come into my life, changed my life, and I've not been the same no more. I fight Satan constantly. Do you? I have to fight him constantly. But I fight him in the Lord, amen? I don't fight him in the physical being at all. I fight him in Christ Jesus. And so the Lord had to fight him when he took him up on the pinnacle there and he promised him all the riches of the world if you just bow down to him. Big old liar. That old liar, he couldn't give him that if he wanted to. It didn't belong to him. He had nothing. And he has nothing today to offer us but trouble and sorrow, heartache and pain. That's all he can offer us. And yet, we let him in. We let him get to us, even our physical being. We let Satan come in sometimes. We ought not to do that because, you see, we've had a new birth and we don't belong in the flesh. We belong in the Spirit. Because we walk in the Spirit, we talk in the Spirit, and we serve God in the Spirit. We worship God in Spirit. Only way we'll worship God is in Spirit and in truth. That's why we so oftentimes, I know folk don't understand that. They don't understand why we have prayer before we start a worship service. But did you know that the reason that we have prayer is to purge ourselves? Purge ourselves that we might worship God in spirit. I know from the conversation that goes on. Now, I told you the other day that I'm a pretty nosy preacher. Amen. You leave your Bible, sometimes I go through your Bible and see what you're doing with it. Get a pretty good idea whether you're studying or not. And I know that we're not spiritual. We've come in the flesh together. So we have prayer to purge ourselves that we might come in the Spirit, that we might be in the Spirit to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, how serious we are about it, that's up between you and God. That's between you and God, Tony. I suffer over it sometimes because somebody's not being honest with God. I suffer over that because when I try to preach the gospel, it's not being received. See, people that are not ready to worship don't receive the word of God. Did you know that that goes back to the sower? Some fell on stony ground, and some fell on pretty decent ground, and it sprung up. But then what worries the preacher is, what's on your tomorrow? Are you established enough that you can come through a storm tomorrow, whether it might be heat or rain? I worry about those things. I pray for those things, that you might be faithful and hold to the unchanging hand of God. You see, we're living in a dangerous and a strange land. We're just pilgrims in a strange land. And the enemy, our enemy, which is the world, is sitting there with a cocked arrow in their bow all the time, just waiting to release an arrow to prick us. Did you know why? Do you know why? It's because they consider us an enemy. The world considers us an enemy. They don't like to hear what we got to say. But let me tell you something, say it anyway. And holding the unchanging hand of God. And victory is yours because you're in Christ Jesus and He's in you. So we have victory on our side tonight. The battle belongs to God. The victory is ours. And the Lord will take care of it. I don't know, that's kind of scattered and maybe far away from what you thought, but that's my message to you tonight. That's what the Lord gave me. I'm not hollering, squalling, and bawling in the pulpit. But let me tell you something tonight. It doesn't take all that. If we're ready and we're receiving and we're receptive tonight, the Word of God is precious. But you see, what scares me is God said in His Word that there'd be a come a time when there'd be a famine in the land. Now, it may be bread. I don't know the way this corn thing's going, the way this gas thing's going. I don't know what it'll be. It might be that you might wake up before too long and have to go out in the yard and pick up a piece of manna, maybe a bowl full. Could you trust that to be your strength through the day? Come down from God out of heaven, you can trust it. Let me tell you something tonight, you can trust it. You see, we may not be able to afford or be able to get a loaf of bread. So God may have to send manna down to us. Yeah, but I'm a meat man. Well, hang on. Did you know that God fed the children of Israel? He fed them meat when they desired it. They didn't have to go out with a gun and kill it. God just blew it in. Let me tell you something, He's still God. We're still serving the same God. You know, I'm peculiar sometimes about what I eat. Particular sometimes about what I eat. But let me tell you something, bless God, I believe man would be all right. If I didn't get kind of overzealous about it like some of the Israelites did and gather up too much, I'd hate to go in the cupboard to get me some manna, maggots would be in it. Y'all know what maggots are? They're unsightly, aren't they? They're about to turn your stomach, or they will. especially if you ain't had nothing to eat for a day or two. So we've got to be filled with God, filled with the love of God, amen, and be ready to stand these trials that are coming. Now, I believe, just as sure as I'm standing before you tonight, there will come a time of famine in the land that we live in today. And it'll not be of bread, it'll not be of water, but it'll be a famine of the Word of God, as I've tried my best to impart to you tonight, this Word of God. It'll be a famine. You won't hear it. You'll have to go far, and it'll be far and few and far between, amen, before you hear the Word of God. Are you ready to preserve some of it? Let God write it on the table of your heart, and let Him bring it up at a necessity in a moment's time, that we might be preserved by the Word of God. You see, you're not going to be preserved by your strength or your belongings, but we're going to be preserved by what we've absorbed of the Word of God in us. So let the Lord write it on the table of your heart, that we may be victorious in the battle and not faint for the wayside. What about that? Amen. What about that? Tonight, we've got 6 tongues again. I'm finished. If you come to the piano, please, just for a moment. I see, if you're not sanctified tonight in your soul and your mind's made up, you've got some rough road to face. Because just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, I'm warning you that this is good time. The rough times are yet to come. Now's the time to get anchored. Now's the time to get victory in Jesus. While we can. Let's stand and sing whatever the selection is tonight. Maybe you tonight have a need to talk to the Lord about a matter in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe you've got a need. If you've got a need tonight and want to come around the altar and pray, would you do that tonight while we tarry and sing a song just for a moment? You have a need in your life to pray about a matter of any sort. Might be a decision that you're trying to figure out in your life. Maybe you don't know the direction that God's wanting your life to go in. Didn't I just read in your hearing tonight that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord? A man's spirit devises his way, that his steps are ordered of the Lord. Are you ready to let God order your steps tonight? If not, would you come and ask God to help you to hear that voice that's directing your steps tonight? Anyone, as we sing this song. Maybe there's somebody that under the sound of my voice tonight that may not even be in this congregation, because this message is going out tonight to several people. Maybe you're out there tonight while our church is praying for you. I'm going to ask every head in the house of God tonight to be bowed, that the Word of God, this Word tonight, might go out somewhere and find lodging in some heart tonight. While God's speaking, just bow your head and pray for them, that they may find peace somewhere in the world today, may find peace with God, because the Word of God's been preached in their hearing. Would you do that tonight? Father, I come to you. Now, Lord, I want you to take this message, Lord, tonight that you've laid on our heart, Lord, that you've given us, God, tonight to give out. And I pray, God, that you'll take it and use it, Lord, across the nations, across the world, Lord, wherever it may fall. On every ear, God, that opens their ear to this message tonight. Not only their ear, but God, may they open their heart and receive this word tonight, Lord, wherever it may fall. And we'll always remember to praise you and give you glory for this great privilege and opportunity tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.